Good evening, everyone. Great to have your company on Talking Horses and 91.3 Sport FM. Talking Horses is brought to you tonight by Europa Saddlery, Conkey's Own, Brooklea and the WA Horse Council. My name's Deanne Bennett. With me is my Talking Horses producer, Raylene Watson from Blue Ice Horse Float Hire, and my colleagues, Dale Wilkinson and Alan Parker.
Good evening, all.
Good evening, all.
Tonight we're going to be talking to Mr. Danny Warrington from America. Danny is a former professional steeplechase jockey, an international three-day event rider, and also a coach. Mr. Warrington is a well-respected member of the United States Equestrian Association Safety Committee, and his wife, Kelly Warrington, is a former gymnast and qualified coach. They've come to Australia to work with former Olympic silver medalist and world champion representative for Australia, Lindsay Nyland. We have spoken to Lindsay before on this program about the program that he's developed about his full safety, horse riders' full safety programs. And Danny is going to be looking to develop a parallel program in America with the support of the United States Equestrian Association and their safety committee. So it's great when Australia's leading the way. Well done to Lindsay Nyland. Lindsay will be coming to Western Australia next year, early in the year, to set up some courses. We'll soon be talking to Danny Warrington. Do we have Mr. Warrington on the phone?
We do have Mr. Warrington
on the
phone.
We do. Thank you, Mrs. Producer. Hello, Danny.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay, that's not too familiar. Should I be calling you Mr. Warrington?
Danny's fine.
Danny's fine. Okay. Not a good idea to upset people right at the beginning.
No, he's fine.
Danny, with me is my producer, Raylene Watson, and my colleagues, Darrell Wilkinson and Alan Parker.
Good evening, Danny.
Yeah, good evening. How are you all?
Good, thank you.
You must... how long did you get off the plane?
Well, we got off the plane this morning about 8 o'clock. We left New York yesterday afternoon, 7 o'clock our time. So, and we lost somewhere. We left on Monday. Somewhere we lost Tuesday. It's now Wednesday. So anytime now I fight with my girlfriend, I say, you call me on Wednesday. That'll be good.
Okay. Danny, can you give our listeners a bit of an overview of your background? Sort of starting off maybe from the steeplechasing and then what you've sort of moved on to?
Yes. So started out, I've been riding, I'm 46 years old now, I've been riding since I was three. Started out with a bit of pony club and then got hooked on racing. And I rode steeplechasing from 1987 till about 1998. I was fortunate enough to ride for the leading train in the United States, Jonathan Shepherd, for several years. And then after my first wife Amanda's accident in 97, I took a couple of years off and just kind of rebounded my life. And then I came back to riding in around 2003 and ended up eventing. And I've done that through the three-star level. Quite competitively and with quite a big operation. And now this year I've decided that my competitive drive is over. So I've retired and now sort of gone after the safety aspect of the sport really full on.
And Danny, steeplechases in America, are they solid or are they brush fences?
We have both. We have steeplechasing and timber. I did ride some timber races, but I was kind of light at the time. That's more of a heavier scale. Our scale from hurdles when I was riding went from about 130 to about 160. And the timber racing sort of started at 155 and went to 165. So I was a bit light, actually, to do that. The difference for us, more than the fences, the timber fences are a bit solid, but the distance is different. The timber races tend to be 3 to 4 miles, where the hurdle races tend to be 2 to 3 miles.
Danny, it's Darrell Wilkinson here. On this steeplechasing, I know that there's a lot of people out there trying to stop steeplechasing, and I think they're being assisted with the media, because every time there's an unfortunate fall in steeplechasing, it gets played and played and played and played. How dangerous did you think that it was participating in the steeplechase?
Well, that's a, I feel like it's a, that's a really tough question. I never thought, I knew that let's put it like motor, or like car racing. You know that you can get hurt, but the odds of getting catastrophically hurt weren't as high as, you know, where you sort of were afraid of it. Like, you're more likely to break an arm or break a collarbone or break a leg or something like that than you were to really get what I want to call catastrophically injured, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was any less safe then than it is now. I think that it's racing, and it's racing horses, and I think that it's a high risk sport. But I never thought of it as a death sport. I thought that no more so than crossing the street, right?
Fair enough.
Or riding in an airplane or anything like that. But knowing that the risk of breaking something was much greater than sort of, say, riding your bicycle down the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from the riding, I see where you've diversified out into coaching and re-educating and horsemanship and welfare. What sort of are those covering?
So with a lot of re-educating of horses, I sort of got a knack for horses that would stop or would not go anymore, or were bucking or rearing or being disobedient. And between my racing background and my eventing background, and a lot of natural horsemanship, as we call it in the States, natural horsemanship skills, to develop a way of teaching both horses and riders how to really relate to one another, and not necessarily always in a loving pat you on the neck kind of way, but as in a real training, yes sir, no sir kind of way.
And looking at dressage for the dressage section of eventing, that must have been a bit of a hard crossover from steeplechasing.
Culture shock.
Well, it took me a long time to get the concept, right? So you go from racing, which basically is stay on the horse, don't fall off, and try to stay out of its way.
And there's not, there's not much sitting trot in steeplechasing, is there?
No, there's staying on in steeplechasing, right? Like, you don't get paid if you don't finish. So really, you need to just keep a leg on each side and your mind in the middle. And then going to dressage, which is actually controlling every step, right? So, you know, from really just managing to really controlling it, it was quite a difference. It took me quite a while to really grasp that concept.
Is there, with the steeplechasing and also the other, say, non-eventing or dressage disciplines, what's the ratio of women to men in those types of sports?
Oh, for us still, in racing, it's still male dominated in racing. There's more women in it now, than before. I would say when I was riding, there were maybe two or three girls that did it in the States, and I would say that's probably gone to, it's not 50-50 yet. I think here, just sort of watching a bit, some of the videos and stuff with Lindsay, but there's a lot more girls here doing it than in the States. But I think eventing is completely the opposite. It is a far more female-dominated sport. And, God, I hope I don't get booed for this, but it seems to be that the men don't show up until the top level in our sport. And the eventing. In other words, you don't see a lot of guys out there, but yet we had our team this year was 3 out of 4 men. So I think that it evens out at the top a bit more, but at the bottom, it's definitely female-dominated.
I shouldn't say at the lower level. And, of course, you're helped by having the Australian in your team, Philip Dutton, aren't you?
Yeah, the Australian, yeah. Philip and Boyd both, exactly. And then we also have Ryan Wood has come over a couple of years ago, and he is really putting on a show in our country right now. He's pretty much dominating and really taking a toll in the standings. He's really good. Another good Australian that's come to our country who's a real standout. We've got a pretty good Australian contingent over there. Evidently, there's something in the water that y'all like. You keep coming over and beating us. So it'd be great if we could figure out how to beat you back in our own turf.
Well, I think you found the way because you're joining them or getting them to join you. So, and
yeah, right.
Actually, you brought up about the water. Tell us about this salt water guide. Why can't you guide in water that's not salty?
For fishing.
Yeah, well, can't you catch fish in non-salty water?
Well, so salt water versus fresh water, right? So ocean versus stream and river. And my take on that is I actually like things that are a bit bigger. I'm not as adrenaline goes, a trout versus sort of a wahoo or a mahi-mahi, they don't really equal out.
Danny Darrell again. Here in Australia, we see the NFL, basketball, and baseball are probably the three most covered sports. Whereabouts in the grand scheme of sport in the US is the equestrian side of things?
So I'll give you guys seem to have a bit of a sense of humor. So someone once said that being the leading steeplechase jockey in America is much like being the number three ice hockey player in Ireland. you wouldn't be a household name. Like in England, you know, A.P. McCoy is a hero. You know, everybody would know who that is. Eli Manning in the United States, everybody knows who Eli is. I would say no one knows who Philip Dutton is that didn't watch the Olympic live stream USEF television. So, you know, it's quite small. We have 35,000 people that event throughout the U.S. And as opposed to the numbers of golf and other sports, we're very, very small, very small. Even our thoroughbred racing, as far as that goes, struggles. You know, we struggle to now still get enough people to keep the thoroughbred racing industry going. That we've had to supplement it with casinos and other things to keep the racing going. Eventing, show jumping and those things, I mean, the sport is healthy and is strong, but it is not, you know, a national pastime like the other sports.
I thought it was a little strange because, you know, America was actually built on the back of a horse, wasn't it? And it hasn't trickled down so much.
Well, you know, there's a huge amount of what we call quarter horse, the American Quarter Horse Association, which is the American bred horse, which is mostly our reining and cutting and rodeo, for lack of a better word. It is huge. It is a huge industry, and it trumps the English riding sport immensely. So there is a great amount of riding there. It's different. It's not. There's a lot of people that do it, but it doesn't get. You'd be hard pressed to fill a stadium. Right, you'd be hard pressed to sell out a venue for people to come and watch the show jumping.
And Danny, moving on to the reason for you coming to Australia to have a look at Lindsay Nyland's program, is there any similar type of program running in America at this stage that you're aware of?
So the reason I found Lindsay is after we had a girl get killed at Jersey Fresh this year, and our safety committee started to look at things, and I got re-involved. I was involved pretty heavily about 8 years ago, and then just kind of couldn't focus enough on safety and riding because of what it was doing to me mentally. So I had to give up either competing or riding, and at that moment I chose to give up trying to make the sport safer and focus on my own riding. So when I stopped doing competing this year and started to really look at it, I spent so much time researching what we were doing as a sport globally, trying to find out what was going on everywhere, and I couldn't find anything that was like this. The British Racing School in England has John Pitt, and they have the British Racing School has a fall simulator, which Steve Smith Eccles sort of teaches on, and there is the same simulator in the French. But there's not really, I couldn't find a program that is really sort of saying these are the things that you can do as a rider to better protect yourself. One of my, you know, I've stood on this forever and I'll still stand on it, is that if my wife would have gotten her hands off of the reins that out in front of her face, we wouldn't probably be having this conversation right now. Why she didn't, I don't know. But obviously I feel very strongly that getting your hands up and protecting your head and having the instinct and the skill set to protect your head and neck is a very, very key element to safety, and it is overlooked. And to find a program that was exactly to what my wife now, Kelly, and I are developing in the States, to match what we were doing and what we were thinking exactly was pretty unbelievable. And so there's so much to it. And to sort of say that, you know, Lindsay's coming from a completely different aspect. I am coming at this totally from a rider's perspective, totally from a person that has ridden their entire life and has been involved in a lot of falls studied falling because of my situation, to meet someone and to see a program coming from a complete opposite field was pretty amazing, and to be on such a straight line. So to really answer your question, I couldn't find anything else globally that matched this program or even looked anything like it.
Danny Allen here. Your wife is a gymnast. Lindsay Nyland, from my recollection, was a gymnast as well. Is there any the correlation between gymnastics and fall training? Is that am I drawing a long bow, or is it something that is an association between the two?
So that's a great question. So we had a good laugh about this this morning with Lindsay Vickers over the airport, and we were driving back to the hotel, and we were talking about that line exactly. And, you know, historically, I think that this is part of the global problem. Historically, gymnastics, the military, and riding go hand in hand, right? Just look at the Russian Cossacks, right? I'm just drawing basic lines for you, right? Like the Russian Cossacks, there's no more gymnastics and horsemanship than those basic. They were warriors, right? So the military had gymnastics, they had military training, and they had horses. Three-day eventing used to be called military. So there is a hard line, and you're not reaching at all. I think that a lot of the problem is that we've gotten so far away from that line that now your question is being asked, like, what's the line? Well, it's a direct line. It's an absolute direct line. That's why the pummel horse is in gymnastics.
Interesting.
Danny, what's the response been in America?
So we have yet to, bring this program to the States. We actually are going to do a soft opening in November in Ocala, Florida, and then we are going full force at the USDA convention at the USDA. The response in the USEA, which is the United States Eventing Association, is remarkable. We've met with the safety committee, we've met with the CEO of the USEA, and we've talked to lots of people, and the response is great. The reason we haven't done anything soft is because we've come here to really align with Menti so that we speak on the same, we use the same terms, we use the same words, we want to develop the same program, so that when we do launch, I believe that this is really going to be important, and I want it to, when people ask questions, because Lindsay's from gymnastics and because I'm from riding, I want our answers to match exactly, and so that everybody is mainlined and everyone understands that this is a true program. A trend. Yeah, this is something that is hard. This is hardwired. Yeah, this is the direct line between gymnastics and riding. And all you have to do is look back in history, and you can see that line.
Danny, the training clinics that you're going to hold, are they open to everybody, like cyclists who seem to me every time I turn on the TV at the Olympics, they're all falling off their bicycles? Is it going to be open to everybody?
Well, I wouldn't turn anyone away, surely. But my focus, at least in the immediate future, is really first for eventing, because I feel like I feel a couple of things. One, if we don't do something soon, it's much like it was a Daryl that said, you know, every time you turn on the news, they keep replaying, you know, when somebody falls. We're going to have real trouble with our sport, both racing and eventing. So my personal connection to eventing and tragedies in eventing lead me to want to focus all of my energy there first. Second, I would go after the racing, the national hunt, and then after that to basic riding, to trail riding. I know Lindsay's here in Australia playing a lot with the polo club. And so I would go that way. And then after that, if there was still time and I was still breathing, maybe we would try to help the cyclists out. But I would hope that maybe they would come to us and look for some answers.
Danny Allen again. I noticed two of the training sessions you're giving are at Pony Club. Is that a focus to have young people learning these skills at almost as soon as they start to take up riding?
I think that's going to be the most important thing. I think one of the things that we will see is that if, you know, we reach these 12 and 13 year old riders by the time they're 22 and 23, which is when they're really sort of starting to come out of the young rider programs and being developed into the developing rider program, that they will actually have a set of skills, and we'll actually be able to see a change then. And also a change in the culture, right? Right now, every time that there's an accident or somebody gets hurt, the cultural response is to look into the course design, look into the building of the fences, look into this, look into that. Was it frangible? Was it not frangible? Air vest, helmet. And I think that hopefully we can get a cultural shift back onto what I call rider responsibility, which is, are you properly trained to be doing what you are doing? And I think if you ask, you know, 20 riders right now that are riding, do they have the skills to survive a fall like that? I think that they would honestly say, I wouldn't even really know what to do.
Hmm. Danny, you've got a pretty big program in front of you. Do you get any funding in the US to help you out, or are you funding this all by yourself initially and hope that people see the benefit of it and then fund you?
Yeah, well, I'm rolling the dice a little bit. There are some grants at home that may become accessible to me, but at this moment they want to see the program. You know, it's a little bit of a, well, let's see what it looks like first. idea. I have great support as far as, look, they're going to be behind it, and they and putting their name on it is going to be a great help, and just them being receptive of the idea is great. Financially, I think that they would be better off to support us by funding riders to take the courses, to do the clinics. I think that would be money better spent on their part. Instead of giving us the money to develop the program, they would be better to give the money to the riders so that they can take the program.
Danny, is there a website that people can have a look at and follow your pattern and also Lindsay's?
So right now, Lindsay's website is www.horseriderballsafety.com.au. We will be operating under www.landsafeequestrian.com. Now, if you Google that right now, it will be doesn't exist. but I'm going to put that out there because it will exist by the end of the month, by the end of October.
Danny, thank you so much for that. I think that's the longest interview we've had this year. It's just been so interesting.
It has been interesting.
Yes, very much.
Oh, God, I'm not a long-winded American, am I?
No, especially as you got off the plane 8 o'clock this morning, too. Crumbs, never mind about jet lag.
That'll catch up tomorrow.
We are going to, obviously, we're going to be talking to Lindsay in the future and catching up with the plans for the clinics that he's going to be using in Western Australia. But we'd love to know how it progresses in America. If you get a chance to flick us an email and let us know just, what you've taken back and how it's been accepted and anything else like that.
I would love to. To maybe check back in with you after the USDA convention in December and, sort of give you a really good idea of how it was accepted, because we will be there. And for us, that's a huge horse expo, really. All the best. Actually, William Fox Pitt from England is going to be the guest speaker, and all the best riders and TDs and everyone comes to that. It's quite big, and it's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida this year. So if you would, I'd love to catch up with you after that.
I wonder if William Fox Pitt incorporated Lindsay's program, and if he had, maybe he wouldn't have had such a horrific injury. I think he was in a coma for 4 weeks, wasn't he, or something?
Yeah, he had a pretty traumatic fall.
And what's the New Zealander's name? They both happened about the same time. Mark Todd.
I think he was just knocked out. Mark, was he in a coma? I think he just had a bad spill. But
okay,
they seem to both come back to the Olympics this year and ride well.
Yes. No. All right. Well, look, we would love to hear how it's happened in December. We can keep in touch with you through Lindsay, and I'd love to have you back on again if that's possible, just to hear how it's going and any differences which you've found in the America's acceptance. And I can't see why there would be, but it's always interesting to follow it up.
Great. Well, thank you all for having me on.
Not at all. It's been really interesting, and all the best. And I hope you take something back nicely. No need to take a koala bear or a kangaroo, but just something back, just to remind you of Australia.
Maybe I'll get lucky and find another good rider and take them back.
Thank you so much.
You've taken them all. There's none left.
Oh, while you're talking about that, how's Boyd Martin?
As far as I know, he's good.
Because he had that horrific barn fire, didn't he, and lost a heap of horses.
Well, he bounced back from that quite well. He actually bought a beautiful farm just down the road from Phillip. It's kind of become Aussie Corner up there.
Okay.
He's rebounded well, and he's got a great string of horses and had a good go at the Olympics, and was just that. He's done every 4-star this year, so he's doing very well.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, Danny, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Have a good night.
All right, yeah, thank you. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Danny. Enjoy your stay.
Yeah,